You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today. The resident Socia Cynic welcomes you to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Everybody, you guys are getting a special Friday episode because not only are you going to get a Friday mailbag, but you're going to get a little bit of a gear grinder here to open up the show before we send you into this weekend. And I think you guys are all going to understand what I'm upset about, right? That embarrassing loss in Texas on Thursday. Because it doesn't get much worse than what happened to the Angels against the Rangers. On the mound, I feel like we pretty much did everything wrong. And I'm going to get into that because I'm going to blame the big man. I'm going to blame good old Mikey Socia for what happened. But at the plate, hey, I'm going to start with the good. Start with the good. It's Friday. Let's start with the good stuff. At the plate, start out red hot. And then we couldn't score. But hey, at least we started red hot. We scored 6 runs, and I've said it before. You score 6-7 runs in a baseball game in the major leagues, you should win. And honestly, the difference maker in this game was that absolute fluke of a triple play. And I've never seen that before. Think about it. It was a triple play with the bases loaded. If you don't know, bases loaded, nobody out. Triple play gets us out of the inning, or gets the Rangers out of the inning. That triple play, if you score it in the book for David Fletcher, would be a 5-4 fielder's choice for David Fletcher. Because the batter was not even... Most triple plays you see with the bases loaded, it's like step on third, throw it to second, throw it to first. That's the old Benji Molina triple play. This was wild. And you can sit here and talk about how maybe Taylor Ward should have stayed on the base. I know my dad kind of mentioned it. Like, oh, if he would have only stayed on the base. There's no way. If you're the ball player in that situation, I totally know what he's going through. Standing on third base, you see a hard hit line drive to the third baseman. Your first instinct needs to be freeze and go back to that base because you don't want to get doubled up. It short hops him. So then you're like, oh, I have to run. And he's already at the base. He just steps on the base, tags him. Like, it happened so perfectly for the Rangers. Unreal. But that changed the entire landscape of that game. We get no runs in a situation with the bases loaded and nobody out. David, the ball that Fletch hits there, too, is an absolute laser. Like, the third baseman made a sick play. I couldn't even tell you who their third baseman is right now, because I know it's not Adrian Beltre. Is it Mazzara? I don't think it's Mazzara. It is... Let me look this up, because I feel really bad. But, I mean, total that whole inning, it was just line drive, line drive, line drive. The David Fletcher ball, line drive. So tough. But I don't even have it brought up, the box score. Well, anyway, whatever. That third baseman makes a good play. But, again, pure frustration. That's what we have here. But let's talk about my biggest frustration with today's game. I alluded to it. Mike Socia and the way that he managed this pitching staff today. Now, I want to preface this with Taylor Cole, I would have liked to get a little bit more out of him. That kind of put us in a little bit of a rut. Don't get me wrong. However, here's my problem. We don't get the support out of Taylor Cole. He goes one inning. So, here is where it happens. Jose Alvarez throws a second inning. Cool. My first problem. Why is Williams Harris throwing the third inning in a game we're up 6-3 in the third inning? Did I mention that? The third inning. Of late, I think he's been one of our most dominant arms. He has not given up a run yet in his major league career. And honestly, guys have looked pretty baffled at the plate. And I already know the people that are probably going to try to protect Socha right here are going to say, well, it was all lefties coming to the plate. You want a lefty-lefty matchup there, right? Yeah, maybe in like the seventh or eighth inning. It's the third inning of a baseball game. I think your mindset as a manager needs to be, hey, we need outs. We need a guy that can eat innings right now. We need, I don't know, a Noe Ramirez. Or throw Jim Johnson. If you're going to throw a guy that's only going to throw one inning, why don't you throw Jim Johnson in the third so when he gives up the solo home run, you have time to make up these runs over the game. I think Jim pitched the fifth, maybe the sixth. Doesn't give you, like, you're limiting the amount of outs you have to play with now to make up those runs that that guy gives up. You want an inning eater there. I don't know. Because why doesn't Noe go throw his two innings? That gets you to the fifth inning. Then go Jim Johnson. Ty Boutre makes his major league debut after that. By that time, you'll even be back to that part of the Rangers lineup where there's lefties. Throw Williams Harris. Why not? Luckily, we still had the lead going into the eighth inning. That was my first problem, though, was why is that quality of an arm throwing that early in the ballgame? Heck, I've even seen Jose Alvarez throw multiple innings this year. Why not run him out for the third? He's a lefty. It just seemed to kind of handcuff us the rest of the game. And with a lineup from the Rangers that was primarily left-handed hitters. And we're going to use our top two lefties in the second and third inning? I don't know. I don't know if I like that or not. My second problem, and this is my biggest problem, it's that fun eighth inning that we had where the Rangers scored five runs on two hits. Okay? Justin Anderson starts off the eighth inning. He started off going walk, hit by pitch, double. Mind you, Osmer Morales is waiting in the bullpen, warming up to make his major league debut. So he's up. Okay. I'm not even mad that he's the guy warming up. Because I know Bedrosian and Blake Parker pitched Wednesday, and I'm an understanding guy. They're probably not going to pitch today. You pitch, travel, I don't know. Kind of rough on those guys, right? So, Osmer Morales, up, warming up. When you are a relief pitcher and you start an inning, walk, hit by pitch, double, you don't have it that day. It's just not happening. The other team may be locked in. In this case, he just couldn't throw a strike. Pull him. Pull him then. Because at this point, you can potentially bring in Osmer Morales to make his major league debut to a second and third nobody out situation. At least here, he has a base open so he can get rid of those first debut jitters. But no. Let's give Justin Anderson another batter. What does he do? He walks that guy. So now, at this point, I truly believed Socha was like, screw it. This is Anderson's mess. He has to clean it up the rest of the inning. Okay. So, what does he do? He goes, strikes out the next two guys. I'm thinking, wow, we might actually get out of this jam. Again, Justin Anderson did not have it tonight at this point. And if you remember, the first strikeout he got of that sequence, he started that batter 3-0. So, again, he was having a lot of trouble throwing strikes. He had no idea where the ball was going. And sometimes, that's okay. That just happens. But as a manager, I feel like you gotta recognize that. But no. With two outs, Justin Anderson is gonna walk the tying run in. That is the time that we decide to make the debut of a 9-year minor league veteran. I was so baffled. Because at that point, I was like, well, I mean, Anderson got two outs. So, he walked the guy, whatever. Maybe give him another runner. Right? Like, what are we doing? But then what happens? Osmer Morales comes in. Fluke infield single to take the lead. Now, you know, Morales is just in his own head. Wild pitch. That just seals the deal for the Rangers. So, my question is, why is Justin Anderson staying in the game that long if we're going to put Osmer Morales in anyway? That's what I don't understand. If he's going to come into a jam, put him in the jam. Let him work out of the jam. Don't let him inherit a bases loaded situation. I don't like that. Give him an empty base. Let him get his feet wet. I mean, come on. Were we thinking about keeping Morales in for the ninth, maybe? I doubt it. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you still had Bedrosian and Parker there in case we had a one-run lead, I guess. Were you going to think about bringing Morales in to kind of hold the tie and then come back out for the ninth? That seems a little odd to me. And what's the best case scenario there? It's like if he comes back in the ninth, what, with a lead? You're going to ask him to close the game out? I don't know about that. And then if he gets out of that ninth, we're tied. And you're going to have to throw Blake Parker or Cam Bedrosian anyway. So what? I'm not sure I understand the reasoning behind it here. And I never have really understood the way he manages the bullpen. And I'm really baffled. And I'm sure there's some social people out there that will probably reach out to me on Twitter and let me know maybe his mindset or what you guys were at least thinking. And I'd love to know it. I'd love to see another side of this coin, because when I was watching this game, I was like, what's going on right now? I was seriously confused. But anyway. Coming up next, we're going to go to our Friday mailbag questions. We had some good ones this week. I really liked it. My first Friday mailbag. I was really excited. But first, if you want to sponsor the show, hit us up, lockedonangels@gmail.com. I'd love to reach out to you guys. So, Friday mailbag, coming up next. Your Friday mailbag questions. These were some good questions, I will add, too. So, first one, George, avid listener of ours, at HokedOnPhoto. I think is how you say it. I don't know. Asks, yesterday you talked about a closer, and the other day you were saying we're going to have a log jam at shortstop. So can we trade for a legit closer? What closers and when? Solid question here. Really awesome. The answer is yes. We can trade for a legit closer. Here's what we're looking at, though. So I don't know if this is necessarily the move, but if you're looking at trade options, you imagine they're going to be people that are going to be 2020 free agents or 2021 free agents. The 2021 free agents are obviously going to get asked for a bigger price, right? Here's where we kind of run into problems. Your 2020 notable free agent closers. Hector Rondon, currently 13 saves, 2.27 ERA with the Astros. Their bullpen has a ton of arms, so you could see him potentially moving. However, do the Astros really need a shortstop? Do they really need an infielder at that matter? Not really. So I don't really see us going to get him. Your next guy, Brad Boxberger. 27 saves for the Diamondbacks this year. Also had 41 with the Rays not too long ago. Could they use a shortstop? Maybe. Probably. Potential trade opportunity there. But at that point, I believe Brad Boxberger is going to be going into his age 34, 35 season. Get a little old there. So I don't know if that's necessarily the guy we want to trade, like Luis Oh my gosh, here we go. It's going to be hard. I always have trouble saying it. Rengifo. Luis Rengifo. I have to read it, and it helps me. Because I want to say Rengifo, but it's not. It's Rengifo. Your last one. A person you probably have not heard of before. And quite frankly, I have a lot of trouble saying this guy's first name. Arodis Vizcaino. He plays for the Braves. This is an interesting one. He has 15 saves this year, 17 holds. But he will be the youngest of these pitchers at the time. He will be turning 29. And I don't think Dansby Swanson is the real answer at shortstop for the Braves. He's only hitting 230 this year. Once he got to the major league level, I just really hasn't jumped off the page for them. Good young arm. I'd like to see him maybe in the ninth inning a little bit longer, maybe next season. That's a guy I think if we're in contention next season, you take a look at him and see, all right, could we move this piece for that piece? Are the Braves in contention? Do they want him? What is their asking price? I think out of the 2020 free agents, that's the guy we look at. The other two guys going in their mid-30s, this guy going into his age 29 season, so next year he'll be 28. I like that. For a potential rental, at least, because I'm in the mindset, 2019, we're all in. I think we'll be a good team next season. We always say that every year, right? But I legitimately think so. With bullpen help. We make a trade for him, I have a lot of confidence, especially. Now, the 2021 arms, there's only one name there that jumps off the page. And that guy is Blake Treinen. Probably my favorite closer to watch in the league right now. I absolutely love him. The A's are also notorious for trading four prospects and not paying their studs. He'll be a free agent in 2021. If the A's aren't in contention, why not? We could send him over that way. So, overall, to answer George's question, not a lot of closers that are probably available in the near future. But, other than Treinen. But we'll see. I think there's definitely a way to do this. I think, honestly, the closer of our future is probably on our roster right now. Somewhere. Whether that's Justin Anderson. I don't think it's Blake Parker. Let me tell you that right now. I think the closer is going to be, in the future, Justin Anderson, Ty Boutre, one of those guys. Maybe even Williams Harris. But I think he'll probably be more of a lefty specialist. But great question. Next question. Another one of our good listeners, Mike, at Wireless Chaos. He asked me two questions. The first question, I'm not really going to answer it. I don't want to go into this. And I love lists. If you want to ask me a question, ask me what my top three, top five is. I love those kind of questions. Absolutely love them. His first question was, what are your top three worst moves made by Artie Moreno? I'm not going to go into that right now because I think that could definitely be a potential gear grinder in the future. So I'm going to keep that in the back of my head. But his second question, would you like to see the Angels go outside of the organization or stay in the family to replace Mike Socia? I really like that question. Personally, I'd like for them to go outside of the organization. And here's why. We've had Mike Socia coaching here since 1997. And in that tenure, we've had one quote-unquote successful season, and I'd say that's 2002, if you don't remember. I mean, that's the only season we've even made it to the World Series. And there's other reasons for that, right? Like, we've made it to ALCSs and whatnot. We've had postseason success under Mike Socia, but we haven't won. We haven't even made it back to the World Series. And I think that's as a whole, like when you're the manager driving the boat, that's the goal, right? Your goal isn't to lose in the ALCS or the first round or get swept by the Royals, right? Our most notable or our most recent postseason appearance. And I think it'd be nice to bring in a new culture to Anaheim. Give it a little bit of a facelift. Because let's put it this way. I myself was born in 1994. I'm 24 years old. Turned 24 in April. I have legitimately only ever known one manager for this Angels team. I was three when the Angels hired Mike Socha. So I don't even know what this team would look like with somebody else behind the bench. Why not? Why not bring in a fresh, new face? See what happens. See how this team responds to that. Because I think we kind of know what we'd get out of maybe a guy like Dino Ebel, any of these bench coaches. I would even say the rumors about Eric Chavez coming in, I wouldn't even mind that. I think that would kind of be outside of the Mike Socha brand, and he could bring in a fresh new face. I would love that. And if you're a Ducks fan, like I am myself, you might remember in 2003, the Ducks made somewhat of a very controversial head coaching hire when they hired a head coach, a young man by the name of Mike Babcock, who had no NHL coaching experience at all. He's gone on to have a fairly good NHL coaching career, if you ask me. I don't know. If you don't follow hockey, you might not know, but he's had a very good NHL coaching career. And that season, they went on and lost in the Stanley Cup final. So at least they had a little bit of success that year. So I don't think it's that hard to go outside of the norm, outside of the Socha coaching tree. I would really like to see us branch out here. That's what I would have to say there. I will also say, in regards to the first question about Artie Moreno, I think everyone will agree with me. The worst decision he has made for this team is changing their team name from the Anaheim Angels. That is the absolute worst decision made by any sports owner not named Dean Spanos. And yes, that was a dig at all you Chargers fans, because go Broncos. But I wonder if Pat listens to these episodes sometimes. He's a big Charger fan, and he would really get a kick out of that little dig. Last question. Kyle at KingHammer_15 asks, this is a fun question, how can I maintain my sanity through this train wreck of a season? Well, Kyle, that's a great question, man. I can give you a personal answer to this, and that would be make sure your refrigerator at home is properly stocked with alcoholic beverages at all times. I know it's always time for a nice cold beer when the bats are getting cold, and usually I turn to a nice glass of whiskey when Jim Johnson takes the mound. But that's personal for me. I'm sure you guys deal with them in your own certain ways. But honestly, Kyle, I'd also say the thing to stay excited about this season is all of our fun rookies that are coming up, right? Ty Boutre, fun MLB debut. They were saying Buttre on TV also. Buttre, I think is what they were calling him. I think it's Boot. I think it's Boutre. I'm going to keep saying Boutre until somebody proves me wrong. But Boutre makes an MLB debut. Taylor Ward has gotten on base in every game he's played in so far. Francisco Garcia has been tearing it up. There's fun rookies to continue watching. Also, you got Cole Calhoun having an absolute historic return from the DL after a historically bad start to the season. I just read an article about Cole Calhoun. I believe it was from The Ringer. I'll find the article. I'll post it on our Twitter page. Really great read. But how he statistically had the worst offensive start of all time, ever, in Major League Baseball history. And his comeback story has been awesome. So if you're a stat junkie like me, you will absolutely love this read. I'll post it on there. So overall, Kyle, I guess we'll have some fun to look forward to this season. Heck, you might even get a Shohei Ohtani pitching appearance again. We'll see. We'll see. But that's all I have for our Friday mailbag questions. Coming up next, I'm going to send you into your weekend. Time to get ready for the weekend, everybody. Next week, we're going to talk Rangers series. Hopefully it turns around after that bad opening game. Monday we'll give you that Trivia Thursday answer, which I'm super excited about because we had our first correct answer emailed in to me. Never happened before. Nobody's answered a trivia question correct until this guy. Also, want to talk about Phase 2 and how that all turned out. The push for the playoffs that's not going so well. Got a lot of fun next week coming at you. But everybody, why don't you enjoy your weekend? Make some memories. Have some fun. Summer's almost over. So is our baseball season, kind of. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me on my personal Twitter at LucasSardo13. Keep them coming, guys. Keep it all coming. Love engaging with you guys. But more importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at LockedOnAngels for all updates regarding the show and our website, LockedOnAngels.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, shoot me an email, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Guys, have a good weekend. Adios.